another episode of the William Branham Historical Research Podcast. I'm your host, John Collins, the author and founder of William Branham Historical Research at william-branham.org, where history proves that truth, or at least their version of it, is truly stranger than fiction. Today, I'm digging into Cindy Jacobs, which is a little bit funny because we have been talking about Cindy Jacobs for, I don't know how many months or if years now, in my history series that I'm doing with Stephen Montgomery, where we're talking through the converging apostasy. Steve frequently brings up the name Cindy Jacobs, and I have done some research. I've not really dug as deep as I plan to. I intend to go much, much deeper. But superficially, as you study all of these different threads of apostasy, you're going to find Cindy Jacobs' name right there in the midst of many, many threads. And in fact, whenever I began doing this little cartoon series, I don't know if any of you remember it, but I did this little cartoon series on YouTube where it was doing some satire on the New Apostolic Reformation. And one of the themes that I came up with was the Apostolic Governance Committee, which was fully intended to be a joke. And after I put it out there and continued to study, I began to realize actually that kind of exists under different names, and Cindy Jacobs is also tied to it. Jacobs is officially a NAR, a NAR apostle or prophet. I think she claims both, but she is one of the founding leaders of the International Coalition of Apostles, and this phrase, this International Coalition of Apostles, it's something that was originally formed by C. Peter Wagner, but Wagner listed Cindy Jacobs among the recognized apostles in the movement. So whenever you're thinking of the International Coalition of Apostles and you're thinking all of these names and all of this converging apostasy, you begin to think about all of the different heresies that are flowing from said apostles into the movement. And as Stephen Montgomery calls it, the converging apostasy. But I have other friends who talk about some of the heresies that come forth. And when talking about names like Cindy Jacobs, he gets a stern face and he says, damnable heresies. Because some of the things that they say is just so far off the mark. I look at it, you know, I do look at it from a biblical perspective. I've read the Bible over and over, and when you compare what these people are doing, whether it's Cindy Jacobs or any of the other NAR guys, and you compare it to the Bible, the two are totally different. So for me, it's not even really a biblical question. I look at it more like I would if you're driving down the road, you see all of these signs where the neon lights are shining, and it says the have your fortunes read up till 10 p.m. or some weird thing like this. People are going and they're paying money to sit while some lady looks into a crystal ball to tell them a future that they know is probably not going to be accurate, but they're going to find one little tiny trivial detail within whatever is said about that future and say, oh, this person got it right, that one detail out of everything else that they got wrong. I look at it more like this. This is not really prophecy. This is fortune telling. But the reason that I'm bringing this up today, it goes a little bit beyond fortune telling because there is a pattern. And unless you know the history behind it, you really can't understand the pattern. And if you don't understand the pattern, people who aren't familiar with this, they get sucked in and they get fooled by the pattern. And it's something that's mathematically silly, but it is a real thing, and it's something that I actually grew up with. So as I was untangling all of my cult indoctrinated programming and tried to begin to understand, well, what is prophecy? What are these people claiming to be prophets? And how can a person claim to be a prophet and say something prophetically and get all of the details except maybe one or two trivial details correct? And how do all of the people ignore all of the incorrect details? Because again, it's like a crystal ball, but it's like a very dirty crystal ball. You can only see part of it. So I began to go down the path of just studying. First, I started in the Bible. I began to read what are the What are the prophets? What did they prophesy? How did those prophecies relate to events that happened within the Bible? Was it a futuristic prophecy? Was it just simply God speaking? And there's different categories of prophecies that I began to realize and recognize and put into, in my mind, just categories of what is prophecy. But then you compare it to today, and it's just so far different. I don't even really consider it biblical prophecy. It's more of a fortune-telling, gimmick for the people. But the problem is, if you know the Bible and you understand what is actually being said in the Bible, fortune-telling is from the evil side, not from the good side. So you see all of these people who are doing this thing, who are mimicking what the Bible would call pure evil, but yet at the same time, it's a lot of trickery. So they're not really inherently, from the surface, they're not really inherently evil. They just find that there's a good way to make money. And I look at all of this and I see a bunch of money makers in it. But then there's always that question in the back of my mind, if fortune telling is evil, and these people who aren't really fortune tellers are tricking the people into believing that they're fortune tellers, and the people associate the fortune telling with God instead of actual biblical prophecy, is it not evil, inherently evil, just because of the whole structure of the thing? So my mind goes back and forth. Was this something that Satan poured into the church? Was this something that was inherently evil because ancient spirits of evil came down and influenced people like Cindy Jacobs? And for me, I kind of put that off to the side because I'll never be able to answer that. But what I can answer is that there is a pattern. It's a historical pattern. And these people are using a historical gimmick that has made lots of people lots of money. So with that, I'm going to dive into Cindy Jacobs. As I said, she was one of the founding leaders of the International Coalition of Apostles. So if you're thinking Harry Potter, and you're thinking the International Coalition of Wizards, it's very, very similar what they're trying to portray to the people. If you know the historical backgrounds that I have gone into with other individuals, I won't go into their names in this podcast, but if you understand the structure of the fraternal organizations, they all wanted to have something that was very mystical and enchanting and enlightening and something that, again, mimicked the forces of evil, not the forces of good. But that's the kind of thing that we're dealing with here. So they created this International Coalition of Apostles, and Cindy Jacobs became recognized as one of the key apostles in the New Apostolic Reformation movement. And she leads global apostolic networks, including the Reformation Prayer Network, I believe it is, the Generals International, different organizations. And they all align themselves with this new apostolic terminology. They're using things like apostolic alignment and apostolic intercessors, apostolic governance. Again, the Apostolic Governance Committee. It's kind of a funny thing, but sad at the same time. The prophetic. Anything that you can put the word prophetic before and use it in a phrase, it makes money. Prophetic apostolic reformation. Prophetic, I have the prophetic gift. I have the prophetic insight. Whatever it is they use prophetic, people will just suddenly go, oh, wow, that's amazing. Let me give you money. And that's literally what is happening here. So she is widely recognized as a prophet. She, as I said, she founded the Generals of Intercession, I believe it's called, which is basically the idea that if you go to one of these interceders, one of these prophetic people, they will intercede between you and God. So again, ignoring all of the heresy that's involved with that, a book of Timothy says there's only one mediator between God and man, and it's Jesus. They try to set themselves up as a mediator, and they give it a term office. Because if you try to humanize the spiritual mumbo-jumbo that they're creating, when the minds hear words that they can identify with, such as office, if you are a you know, just a average worker and your boss is working in the office, that puts them in a tier above you. So they'll call it the prophetic office. So they have a office empowered above you. They literally, it is a pyramid scheme. They're in an upper tier and you are in the lower tier. She's in multiple apostolic networks. I believe there's one even called the Apostolic Council of Prophetic Elders. There are just so many numerous things that she's involved with. But in the end, it is nothing more than a reincarnation of many of the things that I have covered in my history. It just takes a little bit of a twist on it. The irony in all of this is that it is actually directly linked to the history. And like many of the different cults that we have examined, the cult following of Cindy Jacobs is no different than the rest in that if there is history that can be shown as critical, it will be erased. And so one of the hard problems that I have had in trying to identify this pathway between Cindy Jacobs and my research is the fact that a lot of the research was actually erased. But thankfully, if you are familiar with technology, there is a website that is called the Wayback Machine. And you can open up the Wayback Machine, and it's a spin on the Sherman and Peabody cartoons, the Wayback Machine, where they traveled back in time. Well, this does this time travel through technology. And the way it works is it takes snapshots, random snapshots, of different websites, and it just crawls them constantly, crawling websites, and puts an archive snapshot. So if you're lucky enough, it will hit a snapshot of one of these cult followings that has been later erased, and you can go back in time through the Wayback Machine, and you can see where where the Wayback Machine has captured what they have tried to erase. And if you go to the Wayback Machine and you look at the Generals International website, there's a page that is all about Mike and Cindy. And Cindy Jacobs, it tells her history, how she's a prophet, a speaker, a teacher, with the authority to lead all of these people. But what really struck me is there is a section in this piece that has not yet been erased, way back in time, where she talks about her work in Christ for the Nations. And in fact, she is on the board of Christ for the Nations. So for those who are unaware, Christ for the Nations is the institute that developed because of William Branham's magazine, The Voice of Healing. When William Branham first began his ministry and Latter-rain was breaking out, William Branham started publishing this magazine, and he had Gordon Lindsay edit the magazine. It was called The Voice of Healing, and it was a interdenominational publication for advertising the Branham campaigns. Branham lost his mind at one point during the height of the campaigns. Gordon Lindsay took over the publication, and he turned it into kind of like what she's calling here, Generals. He was publishing the names and the ministries of several different ministers and creating what basically ended up to be hero worship. So as he started to create this and people started organizing their campaigns within this ministry, this became known as the Voice of Healing Conventions, the Voice of Healing Revivals. The men and women who got involved with this, they all started to explode and expand their ministries, and many ministries spread off of those. So it created basically the framework that you could say was the early foundation for the apostolic networks within the New Apostolic Reformation. So after William Branham died, the Voice of Healing publication, it turned into the Worldwide Revival. In fact, for a period of time, Voice of Healing was named Worldwide Revival. And eventually, after William Branham and Gordon Lindsay tried to turn it into a denomination before Branham died, they started holding deliverance seminars, teaching other people how to become wizards, grand wizards in this scheme of wizardry, whatever this thing is that they call deliverance ministries. And there are many numerous cults that have spun off of that. So what we're talking about really it goes beyond even a generals or a hero worship foundation. It's literally a cult generator. A ministry will create a cult following, and it may not be harmful at first, but over time it develops into a destructive cult. And from that, people break away from that cult and they create their own cults. They may be somewhat benign. Maybe they broke away because it was destructive, but they're still using the same patterns. They're using the same framework of worship. And what happens is, without the guardrails of keeping your ministry grounded in Scripture, they come up with their new ideas, new revelations, and then it becomes destructive again, and another group breaks off. So it's literally the spider web of thousands of apostolic networks that are spinning off new and unusual cults. Well, anyway, in this Generals International publication or website that was captured, it says that Cindy Jacobs sits on the Executive Council for Empowered 21 and is an advisor to the boards of Christ for the Nations Institute and Oral Roberts University. So Cindy joined the board of directors of Wagner University and HIM, along with Apostle Cheon. So Cindy Jacobs is part of this network, but she is a ranking member at a very high level in this network. She is on the board of directors of the organization that was literally created by William Branham. So if you're watching this live on YouTube, or if you're reading through the comment feeds while you're watching it, this is the point that you start to see the critics of the research begin to say things like, this is guilt by association. You can't do this. The one that is my favorite, they say something to the effect, all trails don't lead back through Branham, John. And so they try to throw this guilt by association card. But if you understand the history and you understand the difference between what William Branham created, William Branham and Gordon Lindsay, and what is biblical Christianity, if you look between those in the variants, you're going to find all of these movements. You're going to find what they're doing, how they're doing it, all of the money, how they're making the money, all of the different schemes that they use. It's all within that variance, but and it sits literally between Branham and Lindsay, which is Christ for the Nations, which Cindy Jacobs was on the board of, and biblical Christianity. So let's break this down a little bit further. And I have to, unfortunately, make a few people upset as well, because I have to get into politics just a bit. There is a problem that exists within all of this network of movements that when William Branham and Gordon Lindsay started what they did, it was built on the heels of Christian Identity, which was a strange combination of British Israelism, of white supremacy, and of politics. These were merging into religion and being packaged and branded as Christianity. So if you are against talking about politics, you literally can't talk about the history of these movements, because they wanted it to be politics. So in today's world, Cindy Jacobs, she is one of the most powerful figures in the New Apostolic Reformation that was pushing the notion that Trump was chosen by God, President Trump, and that his election was divinely orchestrated, and that he would usher in a prophetic turnaround, and that America was entering into a new prophetic era that was aligned with President Trump. So all of politics aside, I'm not a fan of Trump or Biden during that phase of the presidential election. I'm not really on either side. I really could care less. What I do care about is the history between what William Branham and Gordon Lindsay created and how it merged and grew and developed into what we see today. So as Jacobs was pushing these ideas that Trump was this divine figure, she began to affirm that association with prophetic insights, or what she claimed to be prophetic insights. But she did it in such a way that was pushing for grabbing more votes for Trump. So she, in effect, was creating what would be almost considered a self-fulfilling prophecy, because she was pushing all of these networks to accept the idea that Trump was the chosen one, and therefore you should vote for Trump. So she launched and led different prayer groups campaigning for President Trump. Some of the names, if I remember them correctly, the Reformation Prayer Network, we've talked about the Generals International, the Apostolic Council of Prophetic Elders, all of these different groups that she was partnering with or helping to lead created this appeal to heaven. So all of these people who gathered in these conventions to listen to this were listening to how Trump was an appeal to heaven, and they started to integrate in their minds, they associated Trump with their religion. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because it is very, very similar to what we see happening during the years that Gordon Lindsay and William Branham created the foundation for all of this. And again, Cindy Jacobs is on the board that existed from that foundation. She was on the board at Christ for the Nations. So as she continued to develop this network and started pushing the idea, the prophecies started to include numerologies. And here's where it gets a little bit funny and odd at the same time. She started to say that we're entering into a new era, that Trump is going to be divinely appointed by God, and that through divine intercession or prophetic networks, she had determined that the year 5777 in the Hebrew calendar was a prophetic breakthrough tied to the administration of President Trump. So to everybody who's on the outside hearing this, they think, well, that doesn't make any sense. What does 5777 have to do with President Trump at all? It doesn't make any sense. When I saw this number, instantly I knew it, because I grew up in this mindset. So if you're in the mindset, you can kind of understand it. If you're outside of the mindset, it's very difficult. But you have to think of 5777 not as a Hebrew year, or not even as 5777. You have to think of it in the way that the gimmick has been pushed to the people. To understand the real meaning that Jacobs was trying to push with this number, you actually have to take 5777 and split it apart. Because in the Lateran movement and everything that developed from it, the number 5 meant grace. That was widely taught because the letters in grace, there are 5 of them. That literally is what this means. And William Branham, when he was teaching this, he would literally say grace, G-R-A-C-E, 5. 5 is grace. And people adopted this widespread. It was something that many numerology charts began to exist. And this was a latter rain teaching, but Branham was not the only one who did it. You can go to, E.W. Bullinger, I think it is, Ivan Panin. There are different men and women who took basic numbers and tried to associate them with meanings so that they would say, you know, by the 1940s, 5 equaling grace was widely taught throughout the Latter Rain movement. The Voice of Healing revivals, the Latter Rain revivals, anything led by Branham, Bosworth, Gordon Lindsay, or Ern Baxter were all teaching this 5 meaning grace. And they would build upon this. You would have the 5 wise versions, and you would have the 5 loaves, and you would have the 5 wounds of Christ, the 5-fold ministry. Anything that they could put 5 to, they would say that this is graceful. And things like the 5-fold ministry, which they built as a authoritarian structure, they were pushing the notion that it was graceful, while at the same time it was authoritarian. The number 7 meant completion. And that was standard Latter Rain teaching. There were 7 church ages, 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7 steps into perfection, 7 feast days. There are 7-fold spirit, I think, was one of the doctrines. Some of this, to some extent, is biblical, because in the Bible there were the 7 seals of Revelation, the 7 trumpets. But they took it beyond this to say that if you could identify that number 7 in something, And even in a number that has no relationship to the number 7, like 5777 is actually 5,777, they would strip the sevens out and say, well, that means completion. I have a completion number within that number. But then also, you look at the sets of sevens. There are three, and three in the movement meant perfection or divine perfection. They would say that basically the three is God's completeness. So when you look at the number 5777, although it is a number that was being referenced by the Hebrew calendar for another reason, which I'll give in a few minutes, the Latter Rain movement interpretation of this number meant that it was something even greater than this. And that is something that was taught, again, through Branham, Gordon, Lindsay, in the organization that Cindy Jacob was on the board of directors for. So here's where it gets just a little bit weird. I feel like I'm doing a weird doctrines episode with James. This is something that, if you're on the outside looking in, this is just all so crazy. But the way that this was pushed, the way that this year 5777 was pushed to the people, was that not only did it have all of these supernatural meanings, the fives, the sevens, the three sevens, it was, according to Jacobs, associated to the Hebrew calendar, because the Hebrew calendar for the year 5777 corresponds to 2016 to 2017 on the Gregorian calendar. So what she's trying to say is we have this supernatural year, and it just happens to fall in the same year that President Trump, or President-elect Trump, is running, candidate Trump is running for office. So none of this really relates unless you take it into the prophetic realm. So to the people who are listening, they can't comprehend all of this. They're trying to figure out in their head all of the math, and what does all of this math mean? How can I say this math means Trump? Well, if you find somebody who can claim that prophetically it's linked to Trump, now you can take it outside of their realm of thinking into something that they can't think about. And that's literally what she did. So she started pushing the idea that 5777 was the Hebrew year that meant grace, completion, all of these different things, and that it was the Jubilee year. And to those who are unfamiliar with the concept of Jubilee, in the Bible, Jubilee was a every 50 years event. So after a 7 cycles of 7 years, 7 times 7 equals 49, the 50th year was declared Jubilee. And you can find that in, I think it's Leviticus 25. It was a year of release and restoration. And to all the tithe payers, it gets a little bit interesting, because the tithe was given to the priest throughout the years until the Jubilee year. And there are passages in the Bible that talk about after this celebration, the priest gave everything back except for what he required to live on for the rest of his days. So it was a year that was celebration not only for the priest, but also for the people. And the slaves or the servants were freed in the Jubilee year. The ancestral land was returned to the people. If I remember correctly, the debts were effectively canceled. So this was a time that everybody could rest, relax. All of their debts were paid, and then the land could not be plowed or harvested. They lived off of the off of the stored up food that they had worked and labored to store during the years leading up to the Jubilee. So literally, this was a year of party, if you really understand it. And again, it happened every 50 years. So you can do the math on the 50, and you can see that the 5777 doesn't even really work out if you understand how the Jubilees worked. But Jacobs and many other NAR prophets began to say, this is the Jubilee year. Trump is going to lead us into the celebration. He is our Jubilee. Trump is the Jubilee. That's literally what was being pushed. And again, the math, if you just simple take a calculator, and you can see that this doesn't really, the math doesn't work out. But again, what they did was they took the numbers out of the count to just grab the sevens. They grabbed the sevens and said, this is our year of completion. This is Jubilee. Now, again, it doesn't match Judaism, it doesn't match the Bible, but if you transition your thinking all the way back to British Israelism, it does somewhat match the British Israel theory and doctrines, because they were doing the same exact things in British Israelism with regards to months and years and numbers and all kinds of weird things, trying to predict the end of days. And again, for those who are unaware, British Israelism is the idea that the United States and Canada and the UK are part of the historical lineage tied to the lost 10 tribes of Israel. And so we are the Jews. We are the ones for which this Jubilee is supposed to be happening. We're the ones that, whenever the Bible is talking about all of the blessings given to Israel, we're supposed to be those who are blessed. They were applying all of the biblical passages to Israel to the modern day Christians under that framework. So the year of the Jubilee fits if you try to make yourself a Jew, which is what British Israelism was doing. And again, this is the same network of apostolic and NAR developments that came from British Israelism through Branham, through Lindsay, F.F. Bosworth, and others. They're teaching them this British Israel doctrine where they can look at numbers and try to make this association. Have you ever wondered how the Pentecostal movement started, or how the progression of modern Pentecostalism transitioned through the Latter Rain, Charismatic, and other fringe movements into the New Apostolic Reformation? You can learn this and more on William Branham Historical Research's website, william-branham.org. On the books page of the website, you can find the compiled research of John Collins, Charles Paisley, Stephen Montgomery, John McKinnon, and others, with links to the paper, audio, and digital versions of each book. You can also find resources and documentation on various people and topics related to those movements. If you want to contribute to the cause, you can support the podcast by clicking the Contribute button at the top. And as always, be sure to like and subscribe to the audio or video version that you're listening to or watching. On behalf of William Branham Historical Research, we want to thank you for your support. I mentioned at the beginning that what we're seeing with Cindy Jacobs and others in this New Apostolic Reformation today came from the developed framework that Gordon Lindsay and William Branham established. And I want to dive just a little bit deeper on that, because that's quite a big statement, and I think people, if they really knew the history and saw the significance of it, I think people would just run screaming from this entire movement today. But the sad truth is, they didn't run screaming whenever they did the same exact things back in during the Latter Rain movement. And in fact, all the way to the abuse of the year, this is the kind of thing that they did early in the Latter Rain movement, not later, early. It was literally the foundation from which all of this developed. In 1948, whenever the Voice of Healing was first beginning to be established, Gordon Lindsay started publishing a column that he called the World in Prophecy, I believe is what he called it. There were different names and different articles tying to the same theme, but essentially it was the idea that we are seeing in those in the years of yesteryear, they were seeing the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. They would use that phrase, biblical prophecy, seeing it fulfilled today. And readers would look at it and they would compare the Bible quotes that they gave, or the timelines that they gave, the mathematics that they used, and see a modern event and, oh my gosh, I see the modern event, so it must be happening. And these guys must understand this much better than me. But they were literally taking so many things out of context and running random numbers that aren't even associated with each other, all to say that Christians today are somehow bound to the calendars of the celebrations, the religious ceremonies, and the religious ordinations that was established for the ancient Jews. And we're in Christianity today, so how does that even fit? If you're on the outside looking in, you're thinking, that doesn't make any sense. How does that even fit? Well, the way that it works is, if you can confuse the people enough and think that you make them think that you're confident while you're confusing them, their brain will literally disconnect to assume that you know what you're talking about. And that is the gimmick. it's the con, right? That's what they're doing. And so if you look through those articles, the year in prophecy, you'll start to see many things that are similar to what they're doing today, and all based in fear. They were looking at the rise of the Red Terror. They were looking at the rise of the two irreconcilable ideologies, democracy in the West and communism in the East. Much like today, they're looking at two ideologies between the Democrats and the Republicans. It's the same language. It's just a different framing of that same language. And they would draw a clear line in the sand. You're either anti-God or you're anti-Christ or you're with us. You're either with us or against us. That was the cult mindset. So what it did was it portrayed Russia, the USSR, as a murderous, godless system that can never be reconciled to God. But it did so by identifying Russia as Gog, mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39, the northern power that would invade Israel at the end time. So they took a passage from the Old Testament from that it was applying to the ancient Israel, and then they take two modern events and just plug them in like they can be plugged into something that happened thousands of years ago. But the way they did that was they said that this is a prophetic scripture and redirected the focus of the actual prophecy that was mentioned in Ezekiel to modern times. So what this did was, like I said, it created an us versus them mentality, but it changed things so that it wasn't just simply politics anymore. Anything that was against this, their framework of politics, anything was against it was also against God, because they're framing the politics and the religion and the Christian system or pseudo-Christian system, it's all bundled in the same package. Because politics is bundled in with this, anything that is against your politics is anti-God, anti-Christ. That was what they're trying to establish. And it creates a moral dualism. You either have a system that is aligned with your way of thinking, your belief in politics, or everybody else who doesn't, they're doomed. They're part of the demonic system. And so you have a godly system and a demonic system. And this opened the door, when they did this, to all of this so-called spiritual warfare. You could label anybody who was against your politics as part of the demonic system. And so when people were running against their preferred candidate, they would say, well, that's of the demonic system. Don't vote for that guy. And they could actually sway the votes of large numbers of people. So this was a very, if you think of American politics and you think of the way that our vote is by the people, well, now they've taken it kind of outside of the realm of the people. It's now being persuaded by elitism in Christianity or pseudo-Christianity. And the actual vote doesn't go to the people. It goes to the leaders in the movement who have the prophetic insight, like Cindy Jacobs, like Branham, like Gordon Lindsay. Also in 1948, which was significant, was the establishment of the Jewish state, which for a person who has been indoctrinated with British Israelism in that era, having been told that the end of days is coming because we're seeing all of these political things happening that we're tying to very destructive prophecies of the Old Testament, or we're tying to the end of days prophecies, the book of Revelation, we're starting to see all of these things fulfilled, or so we say, and then suddenly there's a Jewish state. So it just literally set everything ablaze. And if you look at the Latter Rain movement, Branham and Franklin Hall were catalysts for that movement exploding into what it did, but few of the historians mention that it was actually the formation of Israel that was the big explosion. Branham was a catalyst, yes. Franklin Hall was also a catalyst. They were spreading the doctrine, but the doctrine that they were spreading was an end of days British Israel type of eschatology. And whenever all of the people started to believe this thing, and then suddenly the Jewish state is formed. Oh my gosh, everything that they said must be true. The end of the world is coming. Let's have a revival. That's literally what happened. So if you understand that pattern, and then you go back and look at the charts and graphs that Gordon Lindsay is pushing, he's using the same scheme of throwing numbers out there that are tied to ancient Judaic systems that are for a calendar we don't even use, for systems that were literally overturned whenever Christ entered the Christians into the New Covenant. Now we're trying to bring them out of the New Covenant and back into the ancient Jewish worship, which is really odd if you think about that and understand Christianity. If you understand the history leading up to the Latter Rain movement, and then understand the charts that are being given and all of the doctrines that are being pushed by Branham and others surrounding those charts, you begin to notice that in the years prior to the Latter Rain movement, they were very clearly doing the same thing. There's a section in a few of the charts, I can't remember exactly which ones, but Gordon Lindsay talks about a era that was established when the New Deal began. So this was back during the New Deal, referred to legislation that was being pushed by Franklin Delano Roosevelt that so many in the Christian identity movement were against. So he defined that as an era and a milestone that was leading to this end of days. So in doing this, he's literally saying that he identifies with the Christian identity side of the debate, that this entered us into this bad era, this bad period of time. And now we're coming in to suggest that the end of that era is coming, which means if you understand the eschatology, they're saying literally this next era is going to lead us into the era of the new millennium, or the time in which the end of the world has come and we're to take over. It's literally what we see today. You have so many people who are in this type of movement who are saying that our political leaders did not get elected, the other side won, and we have been in this bad era. Now the good era is coming. We have the Savior who's coming to take over. He's going to take over the politics, drive out everybody who disagrees with our politics, and we will win this supernatural battle we're fighting. They've taken politics and put it into the supernatural realm. And that's the same thing that they were doing with Roosevelt and everybody after him leading up to today, President Trump. So this is a pattern of something that is absolutely nothing new, but it is something that Lindsay and Branham were able to make more popular. All of this existed long before Branham and Lindsay, but because it was embedded into the Latter Rain Revival, and the Latter Rain Revival influenced so many aspects of American Christianity, it was influencing them with the idea that we can do these vain numerologies, or we can embed our politics in our religion and fight the spiritual battle, fight our political battles in the spiritual realm. And really, what it comes down to is we can convince a lot of people to vote the way that we want them to vote because we can manipulate the crowds through religion. That's literally what was happening here. So fast forward through time in the pseudo Wayback Machine that we've created in this podcast, Gordon Lindsay and William Branham have established this network. They have created this Voice of Healing magazine, which exploded into the Voice of Healing conventions, the Voice of Healing movement, which eventually, after Branham died, became Christ for the Nations. That whole institute that they had established, this whole network that they established, the end result was Christ for the Nations School. So fast forward to today's world. In the year 2018, Voice of Healing published in their The Voice magazine, spring of 2018, Christ for the Nations, published this article celebrating their 70 years. And one of the people who celebrated with them was Cindy Jacobs, who again was on the board of directors. She said that Christ for the Nations is one of the most extraordinary Bible schools that I know in the world. There are a number of reasons that I feel that way. One is that they believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. One encounters God on powerful levels while attending the school. Another is relationships. People that attend make friends for life. In fact, the ones that you make are always there when you need them. Yet another is the deep character development. However, this is not to say that one doesn't also have fun when you're a student. The last, but one of the best, is the love for the lost and the nations that you gain. Christ for the Nations truly embodies its name. So I began this with all of the weird nonsense talking about the year 5777 and mentioned how just because 7 was embedded in that sequence of numbers, it became supernatural to this way of thinking. Well, think about the title of the magazine and the year that they chose to do it, 70 Powerful Years of Ministering God's Word. It's the 7 that really matters if you understand this way of thinking and this logic. But the year 2018 was also significant for other reasons as it related to Cindy Jacobs. For Jacobs, 2018 was the year 5778, the year of the gate. So, and I'm laughing because we used to do nonsensical things like this too. You're thinking of basic elementary level associations. 5 equals grace because in the English alphabet, G-R-A-C-E, it spells grace. We never stop to think that in Hebrew, it didn't have 5 letters, but that's the way that we were taught to think. Very basic, because if you want to manipulate somebody, take something that's right in front of their face and show them that it means more than they think it does, and then suddenly you're spiritual and they're not. That's literally how this works. It's a gimmick. it's a con. But so for Cindy Jacobs, 2018 was the year of the gate because it rhymed with 5778, but it's also a numerological hinge. What she tried to say was that this was the, what did she say? This was the year to possess the gates of your future. So if you understand fortune telling and you think of the crystal ball, she's gathering all of these people around to look into the crystal ball so that you can possess the future that that ball is showing you. And what Jacobs did, if you really understand it, she took the doctrinal framework of combining religion and politics that Gordon Lindsay and Branham had on the national level, and she took it to an international level. She brought in ideas such as the Isaiah 19 highway. She said, I'm reading verbatim, another word that God gave us is about the Isaiah 19 highway. You may not be familiar with that, but it's talked about in Isaiah, the 19th chapter. And it's really interesting the way that she phrases that, another word that God gave us. It makes it sound like God gave her something special regarding this highway, but what she is saying and not saying at the same time is God gave us the Bible, and the Bible has a highway in Isaiah 19. But what she's trying to say is that the prophecy given to Isaiah in the ancient world for ancient Israel was not for ancient Israel. It was for modern Israel, or in other words, us today as Christians. She's literally following the British Israel framework, the British Israel way of thinking, and taking passages that weren't intended for us in the way that it's being used for us in this doctrinal framework, and saying they apply to modern events. So anything that is surrounding the politics regarding, she's mentioning directly from Egypt to Assyria, anything that's involving politics regarding policy for those nations can now be attributed to this prophecy from Isaiah. Even though his prophecy had nothing to do with American politics or global politics for the year 2018. But that is the way that the system works, and that's the way the system has worked long before Branham or Gordon Lindsay got involved, but especially after Branham and Gordon Lindsay got involved in spinning off all of these apostolic networks through the Voice of Healing convention movements and the Latter Rain revivals. Whenever all of this was being birthed and politics was being embedded into American Christianity, it was being embedded with prophetic themes, and the way that they would twist ancient Bible prophecy that was for ancient Israel and twist it into modern events through British Israelism, it was something that I'd never really fully understood when I was in the movement. And then after I left, I can't believe that I even fell for some of this stuff. I was listening to recorded sermons that was talking about President Kennedy and how Kennedy was fulfilling, Kennedy was the Ahab of our day, and Jacqueline Kennedy was the Jezebel for the day. And we needed prophets to storm the gates because we need to kick Jezebel out of the White House. That was the type of mentality that I grew up with. And I'm growing up listening to recordings and reading literature about these prophetic movements long after those events. Kennedy, you know, Kennedy was assassinated in the 60s. I'm reading these things in the year 2000 and beyond. And I'm reading it because it is part of this prophetic framework that was established. And when I say prophetic, I'm saying it very loosely because it's not really prophetic so much as it is religious propaganda to sway politics. Everybody during that era, whenever they're listening to all of the ministers, not just Branham, but many of them, saying that we now have Jezebel in the White House. Read this passage from the Old Testament. Can't we see that this is evil today? It's being fulfilled right before our very eyes. Well, an unsuspecting crowd of people would start to vote the other direction because, no, they don't want evil in the White House. Nobody wants evil in the White House. And so everybody starts to go a different direction. And the leaders who are in these movements that have wide recognition, such as Cindy Jacobs, they have the power to sway masses of votes. So there's a reason why politics gets involved. If you think about the hierarchy from the bottom up, all of the people who are voting, who are being swayed by those votes, think of them as assets and think of the organizations that would love to get their fingers on those assets. So let's dump tons of money into these ministries because if we do, they'll vote in our favor against the other guy. And so from the bottom up, it's evil. From the top down, it's evil. And there in the very middle are these apostolic people, these people claiming to be apostles and prophets, and they have the power to both sway political vote and gain the fortunes that can be invested in them to sway those votes. So it's all a system that goes far beyond what you even fully understand. That's why at the beginning I said, you know, it's not really that they, I don't think they even believe that they're fortune tellers, and it's not even that they're really doing fortune telling. It is a con, but there's a reason why they're doing it. And is the system evil? Absolutely, it's evil. Is it evil in the way that they're thinking spiritual warfare is evil? I don't really see it that way. I just see it as a bunch of people who are manipulating the masses for sums of money. That's really what I see. When I look at the world today and I see all of this chaos that is happening because of politics, and I'm not talking one side, one party or the other, on both sides of the aisle, there are problems. And then I think back to all of this network of ministers, evangelists, apostles, prophets, all of these people who had the ears of the Christians in the nation, who literally could have made a positive change, who could have caused people to vote in such a way that did not elect people who wanted chaos, who wanted to establish thrones and kingdoms and overthrow governments. When I look at the people who could have made a difference, and I see them taking the money position, that's how I see it. It's my opinion. That's how I see Jacobs. It's a money position. If you go down this pathway, you can have a lot of money. You can have a lot of backing. You're not going to be doing little podcasts for just a handful of people. You're going to speak to the masses, and we will fund your ministry. That's the type of mentality that these people have accepted. And that's literally what has created this whole mess. It's because they're not really trying to bring people to a better good. What they're trying to do is weaponize the religion for the sake of politics. And in doing so, have created such a mess that if you look at the world around, it's In my opinion, it's far worse than it was before her prophecies of the gates or whatever these things that she's saying. It has gotten progressively worse. And it's gotten worse, yet while the things that she says she predicted are coming to pass in the way that she said that they were predicted as a movement for God. So you look at this and you see, well, is this really God? Is God creating all of this chaos? And I have to think, no, that's not what this is. This is entirely something else. But there are people who are manipulating the system for the sake of money, power, sex, or other other things. It's not a movement by God. So much more I could say to that effect, and I'll stop there because I don't want to be censored. So if you've enjoyed our show and you want more information, you can check us out on the web. You can find us at william-branham.org. For more about the dark side of the New Apostolic Reformation, you can read Weaponized Religion, From Christian Identity to the NAR, available on Amazon, Kindle, and Audible.